Welcome to the Free Cities Podcast. My name is Timothy Allen, and this is the official podcast of the Free Cities Foundation. Hello, and welcome to this special episode of the Free Cities Podcast. This is not one of my normal dispatches. It will be a relatively brief summary of what we know so far as to what is going on in the current situation in the Honduras presidential election. The election happened last Sunday and there's still no official result. Yesterday evening, I sat in on a call with some of our close allies in Honduras working within the Free Cities ecosystem, and they gave us the lowdown on what they can see happening in the country at the moment. I'm just looking at Polymarket as we speak, and according to the people betting over there, Asfura has a 92% chance of winning, but since we have no official result, we can't declare that 100%. Anyway, on the call yesterday was Jorge Colindres, who is the technical secretary at Prospera, and Alex Ugorji, who lives in Ciudad Morazan and is very closely connected with what is going on there. So I'm just going to give you a brief lowdown on what we discovered and what these people who really do know what they're talking about think the outcome of the election will be and what that will mean for the ZAs in Honduras. Briefly, though, to begin with, I'm going to talk just about the three main candidates in the election. Salvador Nasralla from the Liberal Party, and he was roughly tied with Rishi Moncada, who is the incumbent from Libre, which is the Socialist Party. And then Nasri Tito Asfura from the National Party, who currently is in the lead. Now, according to what we can see now, the good news is that Rishi Moncada is completely out of the picture. So the Socialists are out. So what we're discussing now is a battle between Nasralla and Asfura. And according to what we're hearing from the guys in Honduras, Tito Asfura might win, with the previously leading party candidate falling behind. And it's worth noting here, Asfura was supported by President Trump just before the election. And a lot of what you can see in the news is people discussing whether that was some kind of interference in the election. Anyway, here's what Jorge had to say about the election shift. He claimed about Honduras that it's never really been a socialist electorate anyway. And as a majority, he described Hondurans as conservative and religious historically. He cited polling saying that about 74% believe the free market is the only path to prosperity. And he framed it as anything where government is not messing with you is very well liked in the country. You might wonder then, why did they elect a socialist government last time? And apparently, according to him, he said it was a coalition driven by the fear that the National Party, who were in at the time, would remain in power indefinitely. And he claimed that the general sentiment was that voters took a risk with the communists to ensure a difference in the power structure, so alternation. He describes Libre's behaviour once they got into power. Libre is the left-wing party, the socialists or communists. I'll probably use those words interchangeably. He alleged that they took over the institutions, including Congress, Executive, Supreme Court, using family members, the Prosecutor General and the Armed Forces leadership. But despite that, he said the opposition maintained a majority control over electoral bodies, the National Electoral Council and Electoral Courts. And when we asked him about interference in the elections and what would ensure the vote, he said multiple groups have aligned against the government, and electoral bodies with opposition majority, evangelical churches, etc., the business community, the media even. He said the media may take government money, but it stays aligned with private sector interests. And the US, he said, participated with strong anti-communist foreign policy. Anyway, his bottom line at the moment is that the immediate question in Honduras is who actually won between Asfura and Nasrallah. But according to him, either would be good for Honduras and especially for the ZAs. So we then asked him who out of the two remaining candidates would be the best for the zones. Who's most preferable? Jorge said, politicians are hard to predict once they get into power, but necessarily he believed both would be good for the ZAs. The National Party, Asfura, has a stronger base support for the ZAs. Tito Asfura himself, he's the former mayor of the capital city of Honduras. He has a construction company. He's known for visible infrastructure work, often via government contracts, and said he's well regarded in the sort of upper levels of the private sector. Nasrallah, on the other hand, he described the Nasrallah's party, the Liberal Party, as historically quite messy and factional. But Nasrallah himself, who was originally opposed to the ZAs as part of attacking the former president, Hernandez, even though they engaged with him, he's now much more positive towards them. He's a private sector oriented person, former TV presenter, sports commentator, actually, and a civil engineer trained in Chile. Jorge said, personally, he likes Nasrallah, but again, like I said, both candidates are absolutely fine. He doesn't mind which one gets in, really. Jorge actually predicted a settlement agreement between the ZAs and the government, ideally in Q1 of 2026, but more likely the first semester of 2026, regardless of who wins. All right, then we asked him when will the winner be declared, given the incumbents are contesting the results, etc. And Jorge went on to say he basically, according to him, everyone has dismissed the incumbents as politically irrelevant and said people are literally ignoring them. He said the key issue has been the armed forces, but that was now clearly in favour of institutions. He then explained the process. Around 19,000 voting tables produce minutes, electoral councils count the minutes, 2,700 minutes had inconsistencies requiring special review with party reps, and said the current vote was about 50,000. So theoretically, it's possible the review could change the result. He estimated, in his own words, the tally will be done by either today, that's literally today when I'm putting this out, or maybe tomorrow. The review will begin this weekend. The declaration will likely occur within 1 to 1.5 weeks. And certainly there'll be a declaration before the end of December. Then we will pop over to Alex Ugorji, who's closely aligned with what's going on in Ciudad Morazan. And Alex said he characterized himself as kind of being an emissary for Massimo, and saying that Massimo was far more, Massimo Mazzoni is the guy who basically founded and owns Ciudad Morazan, and he's far more pessimistic / conservative in his tone, but he also appreciated that Jorge is far less conservative, and I think it was a bit of a playful contradiction, to be honest. Morazan's risk posture after the Supreme Court ruling, according to them, he said that at the Morazan government level, they are uncertain of the ZA status after the Supreme Court ruling. They're taking a conservative approach. They don't open companies anymore due to uncertainty and liability concerns, and said that the government has been giving conflicting signals. Even if a ruling is illegal, it still creates uncertainty. And the mood there after the election, he said the mood is that a deal will happen within 12 months or less. Slightly more conservative than Jorge's timeline, but still in 2026. He said Morazan is optimistic and is planning. Massimo is thinking about what to build next. He predicted that if a deal is made, tens of millions of dollars could flow into Morazan very, very quickly, and said optimism is the highest since the Supreme Court ruling. the original one, that is, maybe even since 2021. Here's a quick explanation of the Supreme Court ruling, just for context. This is what Jorge said. The Supreme Court declared the ZA regime unconstitutional and tried to apply it retroactively. He argued that under Honduran principles, such rulings cannot affect acquired rights or settled legal situations. And he acknowledged even if the ruling is null and void, in practice, it may be treated as real because it carries official seals and signatures. The key legal pillars that Jorge emphasized were non-retroactivity / acquired rights. The constitutional rulings should not disrupt settled legal situations. And international treaty protection, Jorge highlighted the Honduras-Kuwait treaty that he said explicitly guarantees legal status of ZAs for at least 50 years, or for 50 years, and argued that that hasn't been changed, that's not been struck down. So the ruling didn't order him to stop operating, put it that way. Somebody else very closely related to Morazan said that she spoke with Carlos Pineda recently, who's described as one of the key people behind the original ZA law. And Carlos agrees with Jorge's optimism, regardless of whether Nasrallah or Asfura wins. Though Carlos personally prefers Asfura and Jorge prefers Nasrallah. He emphasized the structural importance of international treaties because they limit what Honduras can do unilaterally, and said experts in international arbitration would likely not favor Honduras because evidence of acquired rights violations is strong. Then we had a question about public opinion on the situation with the ZAs. What's the public opinion? Jorge said they do regular polling. He didn't have exact numbers, but cited something like 40% positive, 30% negative, remained a neutral unknown. He said Prospera's brand is positive, but not widely known. ZAs as a concept is more widely recognized. And he claimed there's a belief that ZAs helped motivate US support for Honduran democracy, which is good for BR, which is good for PR. Okay, then we had a question about connecting additional land plots. Referenced an old provision allowing additional land plots to be connected to an existing ZA, and what are the chances of restoring and using that? Jorge said their legal position is that incorporating additional land is safeguarded by the international treaty because the ZA organic law is integrated into it. And he claimed that a regulatory body share that view and that they have supporting legal opinions. So they might incorporate additional property soon. And they said they want a formal agreement with the next government to increase certainty and enable more ZA-like zones in Honduras. He also claimed Honduras is still the easiest place to start similar zones because people are already familiar with them. Alex Ugorji added that the ZAs have a separate land registry, which is interesting, from the national regime's land registry. And that offers robust protection and complicates expropriation tax, building permit interference, etc. That was just a side note. Okay, then we had a question about immigration and residency logistics. Whether resources exist for attendees to, for example, the Free Cities Conference to fly in, and while they're there, simultaneously pursue Honduran residency, maybe via investment or real estate. Jorge's answer was that Prospera has an agreement with the National Migration Institute to facilitate residency for Prospera investors or business people or residents. And he claimed that the current government didn't revoke that. So it's still in place. And ideally, the new administration will respect and reactivate it by September. He offered a Plan B standard petition process, file request and stay while processing, paying small periodic fees. So basically, that's possible. You can, according to what I understood anyway, you can stay there indefinitely just by updating your file every few months. Then someone mentioned, why did Prospera reduce its claim recently? That's the claim against the government. It was many, many billions, and they were claiming. And Jorge clarified, this is something Massimo talked to me about when I was in Prague last, and I think he got it a little bit wrong. He said it looked like the Prospera just recently reduced their claim off the government, but actually it wasn't reduced. It's just that the initial filing didn't take a final damages number. So there was no number. It was an up to figure. Figures estimated the total project loss that could be claimed was up to 11 billion or something. Now, since operations continued and the worst case loss didn't materialize, the recent filing presented actual calculated damages for what happened over the past 4 years. So that was just a misunderstanding. As far as settling goes with the government, here are some predicted timelines. Jorge said it should be a priority for the government due to finances and hoped it could be done in the first semester of 2026. Okay, closing remarks. Jorge was very, very positive, and this is my takeaway. He predicted 2026 will be the year of the ZA, saying growth could be extremely rapid if they go fully online again, which is phenomenal news, of course. Here were the key takeaways. This is what was collectively communicated as far as I'm concerned. Number one, the election outlook. Shift away from the Libre Party, the socialists / communists. This is seen as a major opening. A final winner will be expected late December after review of disputed minutes. The two acceptable winners, according to the Free Cities Foundation and Jorge and everyone connected with the ZDs, is that both Asfura and Nasrallah would likely be favourable to the ZDs. With national party support more established, let's say. The legal posture, Jorge's side emphasizes that acquired rights and treaty protections are in place. Alex emphasized practical enforcement risk when the government ignores the law. Operational reality of what's going on, Morazan is still building, but not incorporating companies currently. Customs interference remains a concrete example of what's been going on. The customs offices were taken away previously. Now, the settlement goal. Both Jorge and Alex expect a deal in 2026. Jorge said ideally first semester, Alex within 12 months. So it's all looking pretty good. We did also mention, of course, that the Free Cities Conference is scheduled in September in Prospera. And Alex actually mentioned that he's going to do some side trips to Morazan if you want to look around. Anyway, Jorge expects a settlement after political agreement, and the timeline depends heavily on the government's legal strategy. So there you have it. Very, very, very positive news from Honduras currently. This is what we've discovered on the ground. And as we sort of move into 2026, I think 2026 is going to be a monster year for the Free Cities ecosystem, and not just Honduras. I was talking about this in Prague. I've never seen so many projects coming online as we see today and currently. And now we've got great news from Honduras, where two of the most famous and most advanced Free Cities projects are occurring. So it's all good. Right, that is the end of my brief summary of what we know from Honduras. Let's keep our fingers crossed, and I can't wait for 2026. And I will see you all in the next dispatch. Many thanks.